Ah, no, good. Thank you, Lord. excuse me. Thank you, Lord, just for today and everything you give us, Lord. Everything you do for us, the love that you show us. We pray that you're here. We know that you're here, Lord. You're everywhere. We pray that your word speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. That was tougher than I thought. Oh, all right, so I said I was going through the book of Acts, right? In the book of Acts, we're at the point where Paul has been in prison. He's been in prison for 2 years now, waiting on to find out if he was charged being guilty or innocent. So he's still waiting. 2 years he's been waiting. You know, the DMV moves faster than this. So it's going a long time. Last week, we saw Governor Felix, and he talked to Governor Felix, and by this time, 2 years have passed, and Felix has been removed, and Festus has come in, a new governor, and Paul is still waiting. So we're going to start off in Acts 25, 1 through 3. Thank you. And I could go ahead and start us out. And now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up to Caesarea to Jerusalem, and the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul. And they had petitioned him, asking a favor against him, and he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. So the high priest, as we could see, he's still not a fan, right? He's still not a fan of Paul. And how long has it been? Do you remember how long has it been?
3 days.
Well, he's been, this is that the governor's been there 3 days, but it's been 2 years that Paul's been in prison. Right, Paul's been in prison for 2 years, so he's been kind of out of circulation, right?
Yeah.
He's not, he could have friends, but he hasn't really gone out and witnessed to strangers. But the chief men of the Jews, their hate hasn't dwindled at all. You know, and it wasn't a dislike. They hated Paul. They hated Paul so much that they wanted, and again, it's not just a want, they had plans. They actually formulated a plan to kill him. Hate can embed itself in our hearts and stay along long after we live, right? I don't know if you've ever been there, hating different things. In Hebrews, keep your finger in Acts, but let's turn to Hebrews to the right. All right, it's on the screen. 12:15. Liam, do you want to read that?
Sure, yeah. 12:15.
No, just 15. Bitterness, right? Bitterness is very destructive. Bitterness is a place where hate gets to when you can't forgive. When you can't forgive or you can't move on, you know, bitterness gets in. Proverbs would be to the left, but I'll have Michelle read. Proverbs 10:12. You know, it makes me think that this high priest, do you think he was a happy guy? He doesn't seem like he had much joy in his life, right? Did he just sit around and fester thinking of ways to kill Paul? Well, with a knife or with a gun. Then he thought, I know, this governor's a new governor, this Festus. He's just new in town. He doesn't know anything. He's probably trying to get on our best side. So I'll ask him for a favor. I'll partition him. Acts 25, 4 through 5. We'll see how that partition played out. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, in that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there was any fault in him. So Festus doesn't do exactly what they want. You know, remember, they wanted him to move him so that they could kill him. But he kept him in Caesarea, but he did say there was going to be another trial. Now, at this point, I feel like Paul's thinking, he's getting tired of this. I don't know if you've read or know what's going on. This has been happening. You know, it's kind of like a broken record. And I know kids nowadays don't have records. They have CDs and everything. But broken records, that's where it's playing the same thing over and over and again. You know, the Jews accuse Paul. They accuse him of things they cannot prove. And then they sit around and they wait for a decision that never comes. So he's probably getting tired of that. Just keeps on happening. And we're going to jump ahead a little bit in Acts 25, 10 and 11. Do you feel like reading that?
Sure, yeah. So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to die. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar.
All right. So, obviously, the Romans, they have a death sentence, right? They didn't fool around. And Paul here, he's not wanting to die, but he's saying, you know, if you find me guilty, if I'm truly guilty of something, I deserve death. But, you know, Paul knows he's innocent, and he knows that they know that he's innocent. You know, nobody except for Paul was standing strong. The Romans didn't want to upset the Jews, and the Jews knew that the Roman army would crush them, so they didn't want to riot, right? So they were kind of at impasse. They didn't want to upset each other. Now, every Roman citizen had certain rights, if you were a Roman citizen. And the right to appeal to the higher court was a right they had. And to appeal to a higher court, it'd be like the Supreme Court, right? You have the right, you know, if it gets a very important, you go to the Supreme Court. Their Supreme Court was Caesar, right? And the Caesar, that's just basically Rome's king. Is what Caesar stands for, right? It's a title each king had. And at this point, the Caesar at the time was Nero. Now, history paints Nero, let's say, insane, right? This guy was very ruthless. He kills tons of people for little to no reason. You know, he had a garden, and to light it up at night, he burnt Christians. That's how insane this guy was. You know, Paul would rather have this guy judge him rather than the Jews. He knew the Jews at this point, you know, they made up their mind. They were done. They were done with Paul. They were not going to change. And Paul has a chance to go to the known capital of the world at this point. You know, Rome was it. You know, Rome ruled most of the world. So what do you think Paul would do? Or what's his plans on going to Rome? What's the What's the intent or what makes it appealing? What do you think Paul does everywhere he goes? He talks about a certain thing, right?
Yeah.
Talks about what?
I can't talk today. I'm not sure what's going on.
He talks about the gospel?
Yeah.
He spreads the word, right? He's always spreading the word. He's always witnessing to people, always trying to, you know, tell them about Jesus. So he could go talk to Caesar, a leader of this huge nation. He could talk to the jailers. He could talk to the people who had transported him. There's a lot of opportunity there. Paul sees opportunity, right? He sees opportunity in going to Caesar. Festus says, okay, I will send you to Caesar. So he knows that Paul's a citizen. So he's like, okay, yeah, I mean, you appeal. I can't deliver you to the Jews because you appealed, so I'm going to send you to Caesar. Acts 23:11. Yeah, Michelle. All right, what is happening here in Acts 23? This is when Paul first got arrested. When they seized him in the synagogue, when the Jews seized him in the synagogue, and the Roman centurion broke up this fight and took him to jail. This is that night after. You know, Paul witnessed to the angry crowd, or the crowd what was against him. He witnessed to them, so he testified to Jerusalem about God. And now God tells him the plan, right? He has a plan. He has a plan for everybody. He has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. And God knows how it's going to happen. He knew Paul was going to end up in Rome. Now, when somebody's going to court, a report needs to be filled out, right? A report on what charges they have. So this Festus, this governor Festus, he was having a hard time because he knew Paul was innocent, so he didn't know what to put down. Says, okay, I'm sending this guy to you, Caesar. Why? And he couldn't know. He didn't know what was going on. So in Acts 25, he came up with a plan, 18 through 19. When the accuser stood up, that'd be the Jews, right, stood up, and this is Festus talking to King Agrippa. When the accusers stood up, they brought no evidence against him, such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. So this is saying is, this is what happened. This is what I heard happening. It sounded more about a squabble between the religions. And then in 26 through 27, I have nothing certain to write to my Lord. That's when he says this, the Lord, lowercase, that's Caesar. Write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after examination had taken place, I may have something to write. So he comes up with this plan to ask King Agrippa for help. King Agrippa II, actually. So Festus is still not sure, so he asks this king for some help on what to charge Paul with. Now, why King Agrippa? Well, first off, he's Jewish. He's actually the last king of the Herod dynasty. And we went over this last week, but the Herod dynasty, the Herods have not really been too kind to Jesus and his followers. Herod the Great, he's the one, after Jesus was born, was so afraid of him taking over that he went after the kids. He killed the two-year-olds, but Jesus escaped, but he was trying to kill him. There's been Herod, there was a Herod what, you know, decapitated John the Baptist, Herod that killed Paul the Apostle James. Now this is, he's from that lineage, that family, but he's the last one what will be king. He's accompanied by Bernice, his wife. And if we remember last week, Felix's wife, Drusilla, that's Bernice's sister. So also from the Herod family. Did I mention that King Agrippa is Bernice's brother? I know it's a little weird. Yeah. So there was some incest going on there. the Herods, you know, have been around. You know, it's just like the governor Felix. Herod's been around, so they kind of know what's going on. You know, they know about Jesus. They know about the Pharisees. They know about the Christians. They've been in this region. And Festus is new, so he's not sure, and he's helping that their knowledge, their inner knowledge of these religions would help. You know, knowing the facts or knowing all the facts, it's easier to judge something if we know the facts. But we'll look in, see how Paul reacts to King Agrippa judging him in Acts 26, 1 through 3. Liam, can you read that?
Yeah, then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. So, like I said, you know, King Agrippa knew all the customs, knew everything. So Paul's thinking, okay, you can be a fair judge. And then Acts 26, 6 through 7, Michelle.
"And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made to God, to our fathers. To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews."
All right, so Paul points out that him and these Jews, what are against him, have the same hope. They have the same hope. They have the same hope in a Messiah. Paul missed it at the very beginning, and he was just like the other Pharisees. But God and Jesus is about second chances, right? And on the road to Damascus, Paul had his second chance. Because Paul was just like them, I feel that's why they're really burdened about Paul, or they're really upset about Paul. Because, you know, if we remember, Paul was in their seat. You know, Paul, if he didn't get converted, he would have been there with them, you know, making judgments. He would have been part of the high court for the Jews. But now that he had hope in Jesus, that's why they wanted to kill him. You know, Paul then talks about his testimony and his conversion on the Damascus Road. You know, he starts witnessing. And it starts feeling like It's less about proving that he's innocent and more about witnessing, you know, about sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus. Paul did not want to miss any opportunities. You know, he was right there. If he saw opportunity, he was going to take it. Acts 26, 28, and 29. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost in
altogether,
such as me, except for the change. So he's wishing that everybody would be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. This is a cautionary tale, right? Almost persuaded. A hymn was written actually in 1871. So it's been a while. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call, almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are leaning near. Prayers raised from the heart so dear, O wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past, almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost can avail, almost is but a fail. Sad, sad, this bitter wail, almost but lost. You know, almost is a loss, right? It's a fail because you're not even close. You're coming there, but almost, right? A great example for believers to follow is Paul. It's not King Agrippa where he's almost there. It's Paul. You know, Paul was in chains. He was in prison. He was literally in chains, tied to the soldier in this courtroom. He was in chains where his life and freedom were on the line. But he did not shrink. He didn't shrink. He didn't, you know, cower down. He had faithfulness and proclaimed the gospel to those in position of power. Paul was definitely not one what was almost persuaded. In 2 Corinthians, so it's to the right, 2 Corinthians 6, 2, and Liam, can you read that?
For he says, in an
acceptable
time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
All right, so what is Paul telling the Corinthians? He's telling him today, God is ready to listen to him. You know, today, he's willing to help him. You know, tomorrow, it's not promised. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but tomorrow is not promised. But today is the day you need to decide. You know, if they decide today, God will deliver them. And it always goes so quick.